Santa Barbara Theater of the Air presents George Backman, Stan Glenn, Louise Latham, Sylvia Short, and William Smithers in The Table by Ida Fink. The time, 1967. The place, a courtroom somewhere in Central Europe.
Have you recovered, Mr. Grumbach? Can we go on?
Yes.
Where do we stop? Oh, yes. So, you remember precisely that there was a table there?
Yes. A small table.
A small table? How small? How many people could sit at a table of that size?
Do I know? It's hard for me to say now.
Well, how long was it? 3 feet? 2.5 feet? 1.5 feet?
A table! A regular table! Not too small, not too big. It's been so many years, and at a time like that. Who was thinking about a table?
Yes, of course I understand, but you have to understand me too, Mr. Grumbach. Every detail is crucial. And you must understand that it's for a good purpose I'm tormenting you with such details.
All right. Let it be 2.5 feet, maybe 3 feet.
Now, where did that table, that small table, stand? Was it on the right side or the left side of the marketplace as you faced the town hall?
On the left, yes.
Are you certain?
Yes. I saw them carry it out from the town hall into the square.
Well, that means at the moment you arrived at the square, the table was not there yet.
No. Or maybe it was. You know, I don't remember. Maybe I saw them carrying it from one place to another, but is it so important if they were bringing it out or just moving it?
Please, concentrate.
How many years has it been? 25? And you want me to remember such details? I haven't thought about that table once in 25 years.
Well, and yet today, while you were telling your story on your own without any prompting, you said he was sitting at a table. Now, please concentrate. Tell me what you saw as you enter the square.
What did I see? I was coming from Rojana Street, from the opposite direction, because Rojana is on the other side of the market. I was struck by the silence. That was my first thought, so many people and so quiet. I noticed a group of people I knew, among them was the druggist, Mr. Weidel. And I asked Weidel, "What do you think, doctor? What will they do with us?" And he answered me, "My dear Mr.
You've already mentioned that. Please stick to the point. What did you see in the square?"
The square was black with people.
Well, earlier you said that the people assembled in the marketplace were standing at the rear of the square facing the town hall, and that there was an empty space between the people and the town hall.
That's right.
In other words, to say that the square was black with people is not completely accurate. That empty space was, shall we say, white, especially since, as you've mentioned, fresh snow had fallen during the night.
Yes, that's right.
Now, please think, Mr. Grumbach. Did you notice anything or anyone in that empty white space?
Kipper was sitting in a chair and striking his boots with a riding crop.
Well, I would like to call your attention to the fact that none of the witnesses until now has mentioned that Kipper was walking around with a riding crop. Are you certain that Kipper was striking his boots with a riding crop?
Maybe it was a stick or a branch. In any case, it was striking his boots. That I remember. Sometimes you remember such tiny details. Hanke and Bondke were standing next to him, smoking cigarettes. There were policemen and Ukrainians standing all around the square. A lot of them. One next to the other.
Yes, we know that already. So you remember that Kipper was sitting in a chair.
Absolutely.
So if there was a chair in the marketplace, wouldn't there have been a table there as well?
A table. Oh, just a minute. A table. No. Because that chair seems... Wait a minute. No. There wasn't any table there. But they carried out a small table later. No, I remember exactly. Two policemen brought a table, a small table, out from the town hall.
Well, something concrete at last. Now, what time would that have been?
Oh, really? Oh,
please, please, think about it.
The time. God knows. I have no idea. I left the house at 6:15. That I know. I stopped in at my aunt's on Popjechna Street. That took 10 minutes. Then I walked down Miodna, Krutka, Okolna, and Mickiewicz streets. On Mickiewicz, I hid for a few minutes inside the gate of one of that houses because I heard shots. Oh, it must have taken me about half an hour to walk there.
How much time elapsed from the moment you arrived in the square to the moment when you noticed the policeman carrying the table from the town hall?
No, not a long time. Let's say, half an hour.
So in other words, the policeman carried a table into the marketplace around 7:15, a small table.
That's right. Now I recall that Kipper pointed with his riding crop to the place where they were supposed to set the table down.
Please point on the map to the exact place where the policeman set the table down. Thank you. Excellent. A keeper is sitting in a chair. The policeman carry in the table. The length of the table is about 3 feet. How was the table placed? Was it in front of keeper, next to him?
I don't know. That I couldn't see.
You could see them carrying out the table. You could see that, too. Well, perhaps you just don't remember. Maybe you remember where keeper sat. At the table? Beside it? In front of it?
Obviously, at the table. When someone waits for a table, it's so he can sit at it. He was sitting at the table, of course. That's what people do.
Alone?
In the beginning, I don't know. He wasn't looking that way the whole time. But later, this I know. They were all there. Keeper, Hanke, Bunke, Russell, Kunz, and Wittelmann.
Keeper, Hanke, Bunke, Russell, Kunz, and Wittelmann. When you testified a year ago, you didn't mention either Russell or Wittelmann.
I must have forgotten about them then. Now I remember that they were there too.
Were they all sitting at the table?
No, not all of them. Some of them were standing next to it.
Who was sitting?
What I saw was that Kipper, Hanke, Bonke, and Kunz were sitting. The rest were standing. There were more than a dozen of them. I don't remember all their names.
Well, how were they seated? One beside the other?
Yes.
Is it possible that four grown men could sit one beside the other at a table 3 feet long?
I don't know. Maybe that table was longer than that, or maybe it wasn't big enough for all of them. In any event, they were sitting in a row.
Mr. Grumbach, who read from the list?
Hanke or Bonke.
How did they do it?
People walked up to the table, showed their Arbeitskarten, and Kipper looked them over and pointed either to the right or to the left. The people who had a good Arbeitskarten went to the right, and those whose work wasn't considered important or who didn't have any Arbeitskarten, they went to the left.
Was Kipper the one who conducted the selection?
Oh, yes, I'm positive about that.
Did Kipper stay in that spot the whole time the names were read, or did he get up from the table?
I don't know. Maybe he got up. I wasn't looking at him every minute. It took a very long time. And anyway, is it important?
I'm sorry to be tormenting you with these seemingly unimportant details. In other words, is it possible that Kipper got up and walked away from the table, or even left the square?
I can't give a definite answer. I wasn't watching Kipper every minute. It's possible that he did get up from the table. That's not out of the question. Still, he was the one in charge at the marketplace, Kipper, and no one else. And he was the one who shot the mother and child.
Did you see that with your own eyes?
Yes.
Please describe that incident.
That woman wasn't from our town, so I don't know her name. She was young. She worked in the brickworks. She had a 10-year-old daughter, Mala. I remember the child's name. She was a pretty little girl. When this woman's name was called, she walked up to the table with her daughter. She was holding the child by the hand. The keeper gave her back her Arbeitskarte and ordered her to go to the right. But he ordered the child to go to the left. The mother started begging him to leave the child with her, but he wouldn't agree. Then she placed her Arbeitskarte on the table and walked to the left side with the child. The keeper called her back and asked her if she knew that penalty for disobeying an order. And then he shot them. First the girl and then the mother.
Did you actually see Kipper shoot?
I saw the woman approach the table with the child. I saw them standing in front of Kipper. A moment later, I heard two shots.
Where were you standing at that moment? Please point to the place on the map. Thank you. So, you were standing near the pharmacy. How far was it from the table to the pharmacy?
100 feet, maybe 150.
So you could not have heard the conversation between Kipper and the mother?
No, obviously I didn't hear what they said, but I saw that the mother exchanged several sentences with Kipper. It was perfectly clear what they were talking about. Everyone understood what the mother was asking. Then I saw the mother place her Arbeitskarte on the table and go to the left with the child. I heard Kipper call her back. They went back.
They went back and stood in front of the table, correct?
That's correct.
So, in other words, they were blocking your view of the men sitting behind the table, or at least of some of the men sitting at the table?
It's possible. I don't remember exactly. In any case, I saw them come back to the table, and a moment later, there were two shots. And then I saw them lying on the ground. People who stood closer to them clearly heard Kipper ask her if she knew the penalty for disobeying an order.
Was Kipper standing or sitting at that moment?
I don't remember!
So you did not see him at the exact moment you heard the shot. Did you see a gun in his hand?
Yes.
What kind of gun?
He must have shot them with a pistol. Those were pistol
shots.
Did
you see a pistol in Kipper's hand?
No. Perhaps the mother and child were blocking my view, or maybe I was looking at the victims and not at the murderer. I don't know, but in any case, I did see something that told me it was Kipper who shot them and no one else.
Namely?
Namely, immediately after that shots, when that mother and child were lying on the ground, I saw with my own eyes how Kipper rubbed his hands together with a disgusted gesture as if to cleanse them of filth. I won't forget that gesture.
All right. And so, Mr. Grumbach, you saw Kipper sitting at a table in the company of Hamke, Bondke, Russell, and Kunz. Then you saw Kipper carrying out the selection, and Kipper brushing off his hands immediately after you heard the shots that killed the mother and child, but you did not see a gun in Kipper's hand, nor the shooting itself. Is that correct?
Still, I assert with absolute confidence that the murderer of the child and the mother was Kipper.
Was Kipper sitting at the table when your name was called?
I was one of the last to be called. My Arbeitskarte was taken and returned by Bonke. I don't remember if Kipper was present or not. By then, I was already half dead.
Yes, of course. What time would that have been when your name was called?
What time? My God, I don't know. It was already past noon.
Did you witness any other murders committed that day?
That day, more than 400 people were shot in the town. Another 800 at the cemetery.
Did you see any member of the Gestapo shoot someone?
No.
Were you part of the group that helped bury the victims afterwards?
No.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about that day?
Yes.
Please, go ahead.
It was a sunny, cold day. There was snow in the streets. That snow was red.
It was a Sunday. I remember it perfectly. As I was walking to the square, the church bells were ringing. It was a Sunday. Black Sunday.
Is that what the day was called afterwards?
Yes.
Some of the witnesses have testified that the day was called Bloody Sunday.
I should think the name would be unimportant. It was certainly bloody. 400 corpses on the streets of the town.
How do you know the exact figure?
From those who buried the victims. The Ordnungsdienst did that. Later they told us. 400 murdered in the town alone. A hard-packed snow lay on the streets. It was red with blood. And the worst one was Kipper.
All right, slow down, please. Please describe the events in the square as they occurred.
At 6, they ordered us to leave our houses and go to the marketplace. First, I decided not to go, and I ran up to the attic. There was a window there, so I looked out. I saw people pouring down the Rozhna, Kviatova, Pekna, Mickiewicz streets, toward the square. Suddenly, I noticed 2 SS men entering the house next door. They stayed inside for a moment, and then they came out leading an elderly couple, the Weintals. Mrs. Weintal was crying. I saw that. They were elderly people. They ran a paper goods store. The SS men ordered them to stand facing the wall of the house, and then they shot them.
Do you know the names of the 2 SS men?
No. One was tall and thin. He had a terrifying face. You might be able to recognize him in a photograph. You don't forget such a face. But they were local SS, because there were no outside SS in town that day. They did it, the locals. 400 murdered on the spot, twice that number in the cemetery.
Well, let's take it slowly now. So you saw 2 SS leading the Weintal couple out of the building and putting them against the wall. You lived on Kviatova Street. Yeah. Was their house also located on Kviatova?
I lived on Kviatova at number 1. It was the corner building. The Weintals lived in a building on Rozhna.
What number?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Did you see which of the 2 SS men shot them, the tall one or the other one?
That I didn't see, because when they ordered them to stand facing the wall, I knew what would happen next, and I couldn't watch. I was afraid. I moved away from the window. I was terribly afraid.
Afterward, did you see the Weintal couple lying on the ground dead?
They shot them from a distance of 6 feet. I assume they knew how to aim.
Did you see the bodies afterward?
No. I ran downstairs from the attic. I was afraid, with good reason. I was afraid that they would search the houses for people who were trying to hide. But I didn't go out into the street. I took the back exit to the garden and made my way to the marketplace by a roundabout.
Now, would you recognize those two SS in photos?
Perhaps. I'm fairly certain I could recognize the tall, thin one. You don't forget such a face.
Well, please look through that album in front of you. It contains photographs of members of the Gestapo who are in your town, but there are also photographs there of people who were never there.
Oh, that's him.
That's one of the men you saw from the window?
No, it's that awful murderer. It's Keeper. Yes, I remember. It's definitely him.
Well, please, look through all the photographs.
No, I can't find that face, unfortunately.
You said awful murderer. Did you ever witness a murder committed by Keeper?
Witness? You're joking. The witnesses to his murders aren't alive.
There are people who saw him shoot.
I did too, sure. In the square, he fired into the crowd, just like that.
Do you know who he killed then?
Oh, I don't know. There were 1,500 of us in the square, but I saw him rushing around like a wild man and shooting. Not just him, others too. Bondka, for example.
When was that?
In the morning, before the selection. But it's possible it also went on during the selection. I don't remember. I know that they fired into the crowd, just like that.
Who read the names from the list?
An SS man. I don't know his name.
Well, how did they do it?
Very simply. The names were called out. Some people went to the right and others to the left. The left meant death.
Who conducted the selection?
They were all there. Keeper, Bondke, Ham, Rossel.
Which one of them reviewed the Arbeitskarten?
I don't remember.
Well, who ordered you go to the right? Was it Keeper or Bunke or Ham or Rossa?
I don't remember. At such a time, you know. At such a time when you don't know life or death. I didn't look at their faces. To me, they all had the same face, all of them. What difference does it make whether it was Keeper or Bunke or Ham or Rossa? They were all there. There were 10 or maybe 15 of those murderers. They stood in a semicircle with their machine guns across their chests. What difference does it make which one? They all gave orders. They all shot. All of
please,
them.
Please, calm yourself. I'm terribly sorry that I have to provoke you with such questions. But you see, we can only convict people if we can prove that they committed murder. Now, you say that all the members of the local Gestapo were there. But it's possible that one of them was on leave or on duty in the Dienststelle and did not shoot.
Every one of them shot. If not that day, then another. During the second or third action, during the liquidation.
The law requires proof. And I, as the prosecuting attorney, am asking you for proof. I'm asking you for the names of the murderers, the names of the victims, the circumstances in which the murders occurred. So otherwise, I can do nothing.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Please, think. Which one of them was in charge of the selection in the square?
They all participated in the selection. Keeper, Bondke, Ham, Rossel. They were standing in a semicircle.
Standing?
Yeah.
They were all standing? Perhaps some of them were seated?
No, they were standing. Is it that important?
Yes, it's very important. Do you remember seeing a table in the marketplace at which several Gestapo men were seated? The others were standing near the table.
A table? I don't remember. There was no table there.
As you can see on this map, the marketplace was shaped like a trapezoid. At the top was the town hall, a beautiful old building. It had been built by a Spanish nobleman in the 17th century, the jewel of the town. The square sloped down toward the actual market where the stores were, as if the town hall reigned over the place. On the left, yes, by the ruins of the old ramparts, stood those whose Arbeitskarten were taken away, and also those who did not have Arbeitskarten. Note how the streets radiate out like a star. Here's Rozhena, then Sienkiewicza, Piekna, and Male Targe, then Nadzieczna. There was no river in the town, but maybe once upon a time there was one, and that's why it was called Nadzieczna, Riverside. Then came Zamkowa Street. All the streets I've named were later included in the ghetto, with the exception of Piekna. Beyond Male Targe, there was a cemetery. Yes, that's where they were shot. Nadzieczna was adjacent to the cemetery. Most of the people who lived in Nadzieczna were Poles, but it was incorporated into the ghetto nonetheless because of the cemetery, because the cemetery played a major role in our life then. Between Rozhena and Sienkiewicza, there were shops. First, Vital's Pharmacy. He was killed in the camp. Then Rosenzweig's Iron Shop. He was shot during the second action. Then Kreitz's dry goods store, the Haubers restaurant and hotel. They were the wealthiest people among us. Their daughter lives in Canada. And then two groceries, one beside the other, Blumenthal's and Hochsfeld. They were rivals all their lives, and now they are lying in the same grave. Oh, yes. I can draw every single stone for you. Describe every single person. Do you know how many of us survived?
40.
How do you know?
They're my witnesses.
And have you found all of them? And taken their testimony?
Well, I found almost all of them. I still haven't taken testimony from everyone. Several witnesses live in America. They'll be questioned by our consular officials, and if necessary, they'll be subpoenaed for the trial. Two live in Australia, one in Venezuela. Now, I would like to ask you about the details of the first selection that took place during the first action. When was that? Do you remember?
Of course. It was a Sunday in December, toward the end of the month. It was a sunny, cold day. Oh, nature, you see, was also against us. She was mocking us. Oh, yes, indeed. If it had rained, or if there'd been a storm, who knows? Perhaps they wouldn't have kept shooting from morning till night. Darkness was already falling when they led those people to the cemetery. You want proof, then? The snow on the town streets was red. Red! Does that satisfy you?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Zygwatzki, snow doesn't constitute proof for judges, especially snow that melted 25 years ago.
The snow was red. Bloody Sunday, 450 corpses in the streets. That's not proof. Then go there and dig up the mass graves.
I'm interested in the selection. Who was in charge of it?
Keeper. A thug. A murderer. The worst sort. I can't talk about this calmly. No. There are things. I'm 60. My blood pressure shoots her right up. A cutthroat.
Mr. Zygwatzki, how do you know that Keeper was in charge of the selection?
Mean? What do you mean, how? I gave him my Arbeitskarte myself. He peered at me from under his brows and snarled, Rechts! I went to the right. Saved. Saved until the next time.
Please describe that scene in more detail.
I was standing some distance away. We all tried to stand as far away from it as possible, as if that would have helped. I was standing near the Haubers Hotel. It was 1 p.m. The church bell struck 1, and since it was quiet in the square, you could hear the bell clearly, even though the church was a different part of town, near Vali Kizadjecha. By then, they'd been calling out our names for about an hour. Suddenly, I hear, Zagvatsky!
Who was it who called your name?
One of the Gestapo. I don't know which one.
Well, did you not notice which one of them was holding the list?
No. You're asking too much. There was a list because they read the names from a list, but I didn't see it. If a person saw a scene like that in the theater, maybe he could describe it in detail. This here, that there, and so on. But when a tragedy like this is being played in real life, you expect me to look at a list when my life is hanging by a thread? I was standing there with my wife. She had an Arbeitskarte from the sawmill. That was a good place to work. And I had one from the cement works. Also a good place. When they called my name, my wife grabbed my arm. Let's stay together, she cried. Dr. Gluck was standing nearby, a kind old doctor. He told my wife, Mrs. Zatrowski, calm down. Your husband has a good Arbeitskarte. You have a good Arbeitskarte. Get a grip on yourself. But she kept saying, I want to stay together. If we don't, we won't see each other ever again. Albert, she said, I'm afraid. I literally had to tear myself away. She was holding on to me so tight. There, you see. So much for instinct, intuition. I never saw her again. All the women who worked in the sawmill were, all of them, sent to the left.
And then what happened?
I ran through the crowd. There was an empty space between us and them. You had to walk about 100 meters to cross the empty square. First, I remember this. Someone kicked me. Who? I don't know. I took a deep breath and ran as hard as I could to get to the town hall as fast as possible. When I handed them my Arbeitskarte, my hand was trembling like an aspen leaf. Although I'm not a coward, not at all.
Mr. Zagvatsky, to whom did you hand your Arbeitskarte?
Oh, I already told you, to Keeper. He opened it, read it, handed it back to me, and snarled, Rechts! I was young. Tall, strong. He gave me a reprieve.
Mr. Zagvatsky, at the moment you handed him your Arbeitskarte, was Keeper standing or sitting?
He was standing, with his legs apart, his machine gun across his chest. His face was swollen.
And the rest of the Gestapo?
I didn't see. I don't remember if any of them were standing next to Keeper.
Did you see a table?
Yes. There was a table, but it was further to the right, as if it had nothing to do with what was happening.
A small table?
No, not at all. It was a big, long oak table, like one of those trestle tables you see in monasteries. It was probably one of those antique tables from the old
town. So this was long, you say? What were its dimensions, more or less?
How should I know? 7, 10 feet? The Gestapo sat in a row on one side of the table, and there was quite a large group of them sitting there. Bonke was sitting. Russell was sitting. Them, I remember. And there were at least 6 others.
Did you by any chance notice whether Keeper was sitting at the table earlier and whether the reviewing of the Arbeitskarten took place at the table?
No, I didn't notice. But when I was called, keeper was standing several feet from the table.
Who do you think was in charge of the selection?
Kunz. He had the highest rank.
Did you see him in the square?
I don't remember if I saw Kunz. Well, presumably he was sitting at the table, but I only remember Bonke and Rossel.
Well, was the table already there when you got to the square?
Yes.
And who was seated at
it? No one.
Well, some people claim that Keeper was sitting in a chair even before the table was brought out, and that afterwards he sat at the head of the table, that he took the Arbeitskarten while he was sitting.
Well, it's possible. Everything is possible. But when I was called, Keeper was standing.
Mr. Zygwatzki, do you recall an incident with a mother and child who were shot in the square?
Yes. Yes, I do. It was Rosa Rubinstein and her daughter, Alla. They were from another town and had lived in our town only since the beginning of the war. I knew them.
Who shot them, and under what circumstances?
I was standing in the group of workers on the right side of the square, beside the well.
Would you please point to that place on the map? Thank you. Now, there was a well there, you say? No one as yet has mentioned that well.
It was an old well, wooden, with a wooden fence around it. All around it, in a semicircle, there were trees, poplars. At one moment, I heard a shot. And people who were standing somewhat closer said that Rosa Rubinstein and her daughter had been shot. It seems that both of them had been sent to the left, but they went to the right. People said that Keeper ran after them and shot them.
You said that you heard a shot. Do you mean a single shot?
Well, those are my words. But it's hard for me to say if I heard one shot, two, or three. No doubt he fired at least twice.
Did you see the shooting with your own eyes?
No. I saw the bodies lying on the ground. They were lying next to each other. Then the Ordnungsdienst picked them up. A red stain was left on the snow.
And you were part of the group that helped to bury the victims afterward?
Yeah, that's correct. There were so many victims that the Ordnungsdienst had to take 20 men to help. 450 people were killed in the town, in the square, and in the house searches. And 840 were shot in the cemetery. My wife was one of them.
But you did not see any murders with your own eyes? Can you say that I saw with my own eyes that this one or that one shot so-and-so or so-and-so?
I saw 1,300 victims. The mass grave was 100 feet long, 10 feet wide, 15 feet deep.
No, I wasn't in the square because I worked as a cleaning woman for the Gestapo, and in the morning, when everyone was going to the marketplace, Mama said to me, "See if they'll let you stay at work." I took my pail and a rag and a brush and said goodbye to my parents on the corner of Mickiewicz and Roshina. We lived on Mickiewicz Street. My parents kept going straight, and I turned onto Roshina. I'd gone a few steps when suddenly I caught sight of Horsel and Hamke. They were walking towards me, and I got terribly,
terribly frightened. I ran into the first gate, and they passed by. They didn't notice me. And later, I saw them entering the building at number 13. I kept going.
Who lived in that house?
I don't know. I was young. I was 13 years old. But I said I was 16 because children, you know, were killed. I was well developed, so I said I was 16, and they let me work for them. That was good luck. That day, the Gestapo was going around to all the houses looking for people. People who hadn't gone to the square, and if they found someone, they shot him either in the apartment or on the street.
Was there a family named Weintall in the house at number 13?
Weintall? No, I never heard of anyone with that name. I stayed at the Gestapo all day long, hiding. I knew the building. I knew where I could hide. Well, I must say I was certainly lucky.
Which Gestapo members were in the building that day?
I don't know. I was hiding in an alcove next to the stairway to the cellar at the very end of the corridor. And once I thought I heard Wedelmann's voice. He seemed to be on the telephone and was yelling something awful.
Did you ever witness an execution while you worked there?
I know they took place, and I know where, but I never saw them shoot anyone. I was afraid, and as soon as they brought someone in, I would hide, get out of their way. I was afraid that they might shoot me, too. They killed them against the fence.
Which fence?
There was a courtyard in the back, and it's surrounded by a fence, and behind the fence was a trench, and that's where they were shot. I know, because afterwards the Ordnungsdienst would come and collect the bodies. Once I saw them carrying a doctor whom they had killed. His name was Gluck, but that was the first action in the spring. Another time I saw a group of Gestapo men walk out onto the courtyard, and immediately afterwards I heard a burst of machine gun fire.
And who did you see then?
Bonnke, Rosso, Hamke, Wedelmann.
All together?
Yes, all together. I was washing the stairs to the cellar then.
Were they all armed? Did each one have a gun?
Yes.
And the shots that you heard then, were they from a single machine gun or from several?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention. I wasn't thinking that someday someone would ask me about that. Maybe one of them shot, maybe two. And maybe they took turns. How should I know?
Well, when was that?
Oh, that was even before the first action, probably in the fall.
Do you know how many people were shot then? Do you know their names?
I don't. I didn't see their bodies being taken away. I saw them collect the dead only once or twice. I don't know who was killed then.
And you never saw a Gestapo man fire a gun?
No. I only worked there till the second action. I couldn't stand it any longer. I preferred to go to a camp. In general, they were nice to me. They never did anything bad. Once Bonnke gave me cigarettes, and the best mannered was Keeper. He was an educated man like Kuntz. But the others, no. keeper. He had a lot of books in his room. He wanted fresh flowers in a vase every day. And once, when I didn't bring the flowers, he yelled at me. And once he broke the vase because the flowers were wilted. And on the desk in his room, there was a photograph of an elegant woman with a dog. But it was Hanke who had a dog. I used to prepare food for the dog. His name was Roosevelt, a wolfhound. He was very well trained. He tore the druggist Vidal's child to pieces. I heard Hanke boasting about him. Roosevelt hat heute ein Jüdlein zum Frühstück bekommen. Roosevelt had a little Jew for breakfast today. He said that to Keeper. And Keeper screwed up his face in disgust. Keeper couldn't stand Hanke. He used to quarrel with Bonke. In general, he kept to himself. He didn't drink. And that Sunday, he was the first to come back from the marketplace.
How do you know that was Keeper? Did you see him?
I heard his voice.
Who was he talking to?
He was talking to himself. I thought he was reciting a poem. Well, anyway, that's what it sounded like. And then he went to his room and he played the violin. I forgot to say he was a trained musician. Bonke used to make fun of him and call him Gestapo Geiger, Gestapo Fiddler. I don't know much about music. I think he played very well. I heard him several times, and always he played the same thing. I don't know what the melody was. I don't know much about music.
Did you see him that day?
No. I only heard him playing.
And what time would that have been?
I don't know. It was growing dark.
Could you hear the shots from the cemetery inside the Gestapo building?
I don't know. Maybe not. The cemetery is on Mali Targe Street, and Gestapo headquarters was on St. Jerzy Square. It's quite a distance, but maybe in the silence.
Did you hear any shots when Keeper returned?
Oh, I can't say, because the way I felt that day, that Sunday, and for several days after, I was hearing shots all the time. And my parents thought that I had lost my mind. I kept saying, "Listen, they're shooting," and I'd run and hide. And Mama took me to Gluck, who gave me a powder, but it didn't help. I kept on hearing shots for weeks. It was my nerves.
When did the other Gestapo men come back?
I don't know. When it got dark, I sneaked out through the courtyard and returned home. And the city was empty, as if no one was left alive. I was astonished. The snow was black. That was the blood. The most blood was on Sienkiewicz Street and on Roshana. I didn't meet anyone in the marketplace either. It was empty, and in the center of the square, lying on its back with its legs in the air, was a small broken table.
You have heard The Table by Ida Fink. The prosecutor was played by William Smithers, the first man by George Backman.
The First Woman by Sylvia Short. The Second Man was played by Stan Glenn. The Second Woman by Louise Latham. The Table was produced and directed by your host, William Smithers. Recording engineer, Brian Brown. Sound editor, Lars Nelson. This has been a production of KCSB and the Santa Barbara Theater of the Air.